Listening Library presents Some Girls Do by Jennifer Dugan. Read for you by Nora Hunter and Bailey Carr. To anyone who's ever had their life turned upside down by love. Chapter 1. Ruby. There's an art to the extraction. First, I take Tyler's arm, heavy across my stomach, and slide my fingers beneath. I lift it slightly and move centimeter by centimeter to the right side of the bed. And when I'm mostly free, I grab one of his pillows, warmed by my own overthinking head, and slip it under his arm. If I'm lucky, he'll snuffle softly in the moonlight streaming into his messy bedroom, hug the pillow, and stay sleeping. If I'm unlucky, he'll wake up and ask me where I'm going. Ruby, just stay. Ruby, please. Ruby, it won't kill you to cuddle. I don't have the energy for that. Tyler's messy brown hair falls into his face as he smiles in his sleep and hugs my pillow replacement a little tighter. I got lucky tonight, in every sense of the word. I grab my boots, leftovers from one of the 10 million Western theme pageants I've smiled my way through over the years, and creep out the front door barefoot, careful not to let the screen door slam and wake his parents. The motion sensor light clicks on as I shove my feet into my boots and make a beeline for my car, my soul, my lifeline, my baby blue 1970 Ford Torino. Yes, it's old as hell, but it's the one thing in this world that's truly mine. I bought it, rusted and rotten, off my great Aunt Maeve's estate for $300. I painstakingly put it back together, scavenging pieces from junkyards and flea markets. I restored it to its current state of splendor. Me. I did that. Okay, so maybe I had a little help from Billy Jackson, the town's least crooked mechanic. But still. I climb inside and shift it into neutral, taking off the emergency brake and letting the car coast backward down Tyler's long hill of a driveway and into the street, where I finally flick the ignition. It rumbles to life, the sound closer to a growl than a purr. I resist the urge to rev the engine. God, I love that sound. And point my car toward home, feeling loose and boneless, relaxed and happy. Content in the way one only can during that tiny glint of freedom between chores and obligations. Not that Tyler is an obligation, or a chore, for that matter. He's nice enough, our time together fun and consensual. In another universe, we'd probably be dating. But we live in this one, and in this universe, I love exactly two things. Sleep, and my car. Tyler is a great stress reliever, an itch to scratch, a good time had by all, nothing else. We have an arrangement, a friends with benefits sort of thing. No strings. If he called me tomorrow and said he wanted to ask a girl out, I'd say, go for it, as long as it isn't me. And I'd mean it. I hope he'd say the same. Which is why I'm driving home from his house 2 hours after getting a text that simply said, big game tomorrow. You around? Be still, my heart. But then, a couple weeks ago, I texted him, pageant in the AM. Come distract me? And he was crawling through my window within minutes. See, it's not an all-the-time thing. It's an as-needed thing. Some people get high. Tyler and I get 20 minutes of consensual, safe sex. Always use a condom, people. And a subsequent awkward exchange about how my leaving right after makes him feel weird. Thus, the sneaking out once he falls asleep. The ideal compromise, at least on my end. I pull into the dirt-patched driveway in front of my trailer. It might not seem like much to some, but it's ours, and it's home. Just me and my mom. Well, some of the time anyway. The better times. But the lights are still on in the kitchen, the TV flickering in the living room, and my heart sinks. Mom works the overnight shift cleaning offices, and her car's not here, which means this will not be one of those better times. Literally nothing could drag me down from a good mood faster than having to be around her boyfriend, Chuck Rathbone. Chuck and my mom have been together off and on for the past few years, and unfortunately for me, lately, they've been more on than off. "Getting more serious," I heard her say to a friend, which is why he has unrestricted house privileges, along with eating our food and wasting our electricity even though we can't afford it privileges. I get why Chuck can't help chasing my mom around. My mom is the kind of beautiful that even hard jobs and tough luck can't dull. A beauty queen and Miss Teen USA hopeful, right up until that second line showed up on her pregnancy test 18 years ago. Sorry, Mom. But I don't really understand why my mom always takes him back. Chuck is, objectively, the worst. I'd crash at my best friend Everly's house if I wasn't so sure Chuck had heard my car. My engine is less than stealthy, and normally I like it that way. But if I leave now, he'll definitely tell Mom, and that's one guilt trip I don't need. On a scale of needs an oil change to engines seized, being rude to my mom's boyfriend rates somewhere around blown head gasket. Not a fatal blow, but like most things when it comes to my mother, expensive and difficult to fix. I turn off my car, listening to the tick of the engine as it cools down in the spring air. The curtains in the living room move, no doubt Chuck stumbling around, trying to see what I'm doing and why I'm not inside. I reach into the back seat to grab the bag of stage makeup Mom made me pick up earlier and get out. Our door creaks as I yank it open and ignore the siding falling off next to it, then step over a particularly suspicious stain on the carpet. 5 yapping Jack Russell Terriers come tearing down the hallway, Mom's other pride and joy. "Please, God, do not have let them in my room. They're barely house-trained, and by barely, I mean not at all." "Shut those mutts up!" Chuck yells from the kitchen as he pulls open the fridge, as if I have any control over them, as if anyone has control over them. Mom likes them a little wild. She says it's more natural that way. I'd personally prefer if their wildness could be limited to the rooms with vinyl flooring. I crouch down and pet as many of them as I can, as fast as I can, while being tackled by the others. Tiny paws dig into my sides and legs as they fight for attention. "Shh, shh, shh," I coax, calming them as much as it's possible to calm 5 under-exercised terriers that rarely see the outside of our home.
"Goddamn dogs,"
Chuck says, carrying 2 cans of beer over to the recliner in front of the blaring TV. Fox News, as usual. He drops into the recliner, drips of beer falling onto his faded black t-shirt, which reads, "Don't tread on me." He looks like he hasn't shaved in days, flecks of gray poking through his brown stubble.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?